You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we get to continue our conversations, getting to know the Council of Presidents. It takes us to the California, Nevada, Hawaii district.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us today, the Reverend Michael Lang. He's president of the California, Nevada, Hawaii district of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pastor Lang, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Hey, good to be with you.
I am excited to dig into this conversation. We're having a blast with this series, getting to know all the district presidents and vice presidents. And so it starts off with something fun. The lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
I'm ready. I'm geared.
Rapid fire questions about your favorite things. We start off with your favorite color.
It is now green because one has to adapt to the needs of your grandchildren. So I've got a grandchild who just loves green. So I even painted my big toes green for him.
That's amazing. Okay. Favorite cuisine.
I am a missionary eater. People hate it when I say that, but I love food and a variety of types of food, and I'll try them. So when I travel, I try to eat local cuisine. But if, I just have a hankering for different things at different times, probably go back to my roots, a really good steak and some roasted potatoes. Ooh. So, yeah.
Okay. Favorite book?
Recently, what I've been reading is Reed Lessing's little book on numbers, his devotional book on numbers. Just really been enjoying his insights. I've loved reading and teaching my yearly read through the Bible and listen through the Bible. I just love it when I get to numbers. It's just such a wonderful microcosm of what's going on in people's lives and how God works people through transition.
We love talking with Dr. Lessing on
it's
his
true,
books, too.
Yeah, we do.
He's fantastic. All right, favorite office supply. It could be anything in your office.
Office supply. Boy, yes. I missed this one. I'm gonna go with a paperclip because I'm always losing things.
It holds things together.
It's true. Those are very useful. Favorite dessert.
I just have to go back to, I just love ice cream. I love it. And so, whenever I'm in St. Louis, if I can get down to Ted Drew's, that's what I do. But that's really not ice cream. It's much more than that.
Favorite vacation destination, whether you've been there or not?
Anywhere on a beach. But I love all kinds of beaches, cold, warm. Just love the power of the ocean. I love dipping my feet in the water. I love being in a wave. So, yeah. I just say the beach is... The beach is what renews my soul.
You're in the proper district for that, then.
I am. I am. And it's a funny thing. I never saw the ocean until I was 21 years old, but went out for Vicarage to Southern California, and that became my renewal place. I would ride my bike down the Santa Ana River Trail all the way down to Huntington Beach and just would sit there. So loved it. Yeah.
Great stuff. All right. This is like asking your favorite child a little bit, but we're going to go with it. What is your favorite hymn?
Oh, yeah. That was Be Thou My Vision or Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. So those two are just love to sing them, love the words. Very meditational. Brings me to tears many times.
Favorite time of day?
I love watching the sunrise. Just love it. And after the first 15 minutes, get off the groggies, that's when my mind is actually most creative.
All right. You have passed the lightning round. We can now move on to the rest of the questions. Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
I'm a Missouri boy. I was raised in a pastor's family by a church planting pastor. My dad used to work in the Senate office building a number of years ago. That was where he ended his time. But he was always in campus ministry. So I started in Kirksville, Missouri, up at Northeast Missouri State. That's what it was then. It's not Truman State. He began the town gown ministry up there. That was campus ministry. Went down to Southeast Missouri State. That's where I was in Cape Girardeau. That's where I was the majority of my growing up years, K through 8. It was a wonderful place to be. I did high school in Concordia, Missouri at St. Paul's. So I'm one of those people. I stayed there for an entire 6 years, and so that was the majority of my growing up years. Did stints in different places, worked away from home, If I have any regret about my growing up years, it's that I love my family, my parents so much. They gave me a lot of freedom. I wish I had spent more time at home when I was a child, but I was always looking for the next adventure, even in the town I grew up in, which was Cape Girardeau.
You covered the majority of the state here. You had
And
Northeast Missouri, Southeast Missouri, Central Missouri.
You know, my wife hates it, but if I'm driving on a country road in Missouri, my heart just feels right. So it's a weird thing for a guy who loves the ocean.
I understand that. I understand that full well. Tell me about seminary. What led you to consider going to seminary?
You know, from earliest childhood, my father's such a good example. It was for him, it was always about the people. And I loved the way that he interacted with people. I loved watching it. I loved participating in it. He was a man of the community. And so my father had a huge impact upon me as I look back. Probably from 2 years old on, I wanted to be my dad. Then, of course, I hit a time in life where I wanted to be anything but my dad. So that went on for a long time because I am very stubborn and very hard-headed. So ultimately, I got to the place where I was knew that I was called to be a pastor, but I wanted to do it in my own terms, in my own way. Finally, my brother-in-law, John Mayle, who was a good childhood friend of mine, high school friend of mine, wrote me a letter, which I still have in my top drawer, that said, do you have the gifts to be a pastor? And cited 1 Timothy, do you have the calling to be a pastor? And I grudgingly said, yes, okay, I get it. And he says, so if it sounds like God wants you to be a pastor, how long are you going to make him wait?
Yeah.
So that's one reason that got me to the seminary. What keeps me a pastor is a heart for the lost. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love God's people. I love ministering to them, but I love ministering to them so that they can grow in their discipleship and disciple others. Mm-hmm. That's my heart.
Tell us about your seminary formation. What was seminary like for you? Did you have any favorite classes or professors during that time at seminary?
My favorite professor, I was just talking with our old friend Alan Summer about this. I took any Louis Brighton class I could have because I loved the man's passion. And I loved also his insights into scripture. So I probably took about 5 or 6 Louis Brighton classes. I loved Rev Rosso's classes, although I still have nightmares about the red ink. But, you know, one of the most challenging things that happened to me is probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was asked to preach for the vicarage service. It was during COVID times. I climbed up into the pulpit, looked down to the right-hand side because they seated the faculty right underneath the pulpit in that COVID service. And there beaming up at me was Rev Rosso just smiling away. And I thought, I am just going to so mess this up. So a 59-year-old man at the time just scared stiff. I just didn't know where to begin.
I think you mentioned earlier that vicarage took you to California. Tell us about
it did.
Where you went from seminary and from there, the story between seminary and becoming a district president.
I was an associate pastor in Wayzata, Minnesota. I served with Gerhard Bode. Gerhard Bode, the older, not the oldest. His dad was also Gerhard, but you, of course, maybe know Gerhard Bode at the seminary. And so that Jerry Bode was a friend of mine, a young University of Minnesota college student. And I was a associate pastor for his dad. His dad was just a wonderful guy to serve with. I only got 3 years with him before he left me there alone. I served as for 2 years I was there alone. So I was kind of the unofficial interim senior pastor. Then I became the next guy's associate. I finally had to leave there because I was kind of in the way. And not because we had a bad relationship. I was just in his way. And I knew that. He knew that. It was very amicable. I really wanted to be a church planter. So I had a summer where I had about 5 calls at once. And I took the one that scared me the most, which was to church plant in California. And so I was a church planter in Dixon, California for 3 years. The district transitioned me after the first 2.5 years. I was 2 locations in in Dixon and completing a plant in Brentwood. They finally transitioned me to Brentwood, California, which is up in the Delta area of the Bay Area. And I rode the wave of growth in that town and stayed there for 16 years when we raised our family there. I was a church planter. I was the chartering pastor of that congregation, Resurrection. I was the building pastor. I was the senior pastor who started a preschool and built the staff. And then I was the senior pastor of that congregation during those 16 years. Then transitioned to mission exec under Bob Newton. My word with him is, Bob, you got a big vision. I want to land your plane. You're flying at 30,000 feet. Let me help you land your plane. So that was where I came. And then I took a demotion when I was elected to district president because mission exec is a lot more fun. So
we have more to talk about with the Reverend Michael Lang, president of the California, Nevada, Hawaii District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Right after we take a quick break, you're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Michael Lang, president of the California, Nevada, Hawaii District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And this district sounds like a whole lot of beaches and a little bit of desert. So tell us what the California, Nevada, Hawaii District entails.
You know, we are the beaches all the way from Lompoc, which is right around the corner of from Santa Barbara, all the way up to Crescent City. But we're so much the valley that is often forgotten, and that is where about as much food is raised in the United States as is raised anywhere in the world. And so that's agriculture is a huge part of our district as well. But then you're also talking some very amazing city areas. You have the whole Bay Area, which is of course San Francisco and Oakland and San Jose, and then what's north of that, you have the Sacramento area, which continues to slowly expand. You have some rather large metropolises in the valley that are oftentimes given short shrift, but are significant forces in their own, Fresno and Bakersfield, which are both very large areas. And then, of course, there's the Reno area, which is just bursting. Reno and Carson Valley area, which is just bursting as far as population goes. And then don't forget the islands of Hawaii. So you do have, about 1.2 million, 1.1, 1.2 million permanent residents on Oahu alone. But then, of course, there are the other islands, and we have churches on four of those islands. So on Maui, on the Big Island of Hawaii, and also on Kauai. So those are also islands. It's about 1.5, 1.6 million residents permanently on the islands of Hawaii. But of course, millions of visitors. The world comes to Hawaii. And so all kinds of opportunities with that. I would say on any given day, about 230 languages spoken in our district. The Bay Area alone, probably over 220 islands of Hawaii, especially Oahu, over 200 languages spoken. So just the diversity is something that, but diverse context, you've got Northern Nevada where, there's nothing for 3 hours. And so Winnemucca, Elko, just big cities for that area, but really just small towns anywhere else and separated by a lot of what seems to be desolate area, but can be amazingly beautiful, especially after a rainstorm. So it's a very many diverse contexts, many diverse people. So the we're a district of small churches. We don't have a lot of large churches. It has never really been a Bible Belt in any way. So it is a place where we kind of try to encourage our people to stay on the missionary edge and say, who is not here, who God is calling here. It certainly cannot just be about taking care of those who are gathered. We have to think about those who are scattered all the time.
Aside from, having islands as part of your district, anything else that you would consider unique about the California, Nevada, Hawaii district?
Well, I think I've shared some of that so far. There's the uniqueness of a variety of contexts. And so setting a vision and having a vision together for such a district is really thinking down to the core issue of disciples making disciples. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get to this later, but my heart is really about raising up and building up the laity.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a very diverse district as well. Mm-hmm. How often do you get to make it all the way around the district? How often do you get out to the islands? How often do you get out to the desert? challenging to all those places.
It is. I try to be a visiting. Try to be a visiting district president. I have to tell you, early on in my work in the district as a mission exec, became very adept with, of course, first WebEx and then GoToMeeting and Zoom. But you have to make those personal contacts before you can have a relationship like this. That's why I ask you, who are you? What are you about? Because I wanted. If we're going to talk like this, we've got to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I do everything on relationships. I encourage our staff to do the same. I've got people who are very complimentary to me, but we try to be out and among the people. But when we put trips together, it is not just to go down and see one person or one church. We're thinking about a swing through an area and seeing several people. And so it's really just jam-packed for whether it's a day and a half or whether it's 3 days or whatever. We're thinking about that. And also, obviously, when the tube's closed, I have to fly to Hawaii. So there's numerous places that I have to fly around our district. You didn't know about the tube, did you?
The tube?
The tube, yeah. There's a bridge all the way underwater to Hawaii, didn't you?
Now that would be
interesting. It's not really a bridge. It's a tube. Just kidding.
I wish that were real, though. So you mentioned that your experiences as a church planter in California, really your heart was in church planting to do that work. How did that experience, that desire to be a church planter, how does that serve you now in such a diverse, geographically and et cetera, diverse district? How does that serve you?
It really comes back down to relationships. So when you're church planting, it of course is about organization and structure and things like that. But none of that happens if you don't do relationships,
right?
And if you don't encourage others, if you don't equip others to do relationships, and so everything that I do as a district president, it's my strength is done on the basis of relationships. I need other people around me. I depend on other people around me to impose structure or a functioning that is effective and just efficient. But that is really, I guess, if you look at it, who am I? Why am I doing this job? Why did God call me into it? I think it's because of that relational factor and that desire to connect people to Jesus, to connect them with one another, to build bridges between people and people and people and resources and friendships and connections and trust. So that is what I do. It's probably my major contribution on the Council of Presidents is just relationships.
Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
I am a pastor because I value, if you will, the clear gospel message of our church body. I I pandered with other Christian and non-Christian religions during my college years, and in fact, stepped out of the LCMS system for 2 years intentionally, just about broke my mother's heart, who was a convert to Lutheranism herself. My dad understood the need to look and to observe. He also trusted my baptismal promises that God had made to me. And prayed regularly for me and communicated with me throughout all that time. But I would say that I'm a pastor in the LCMS because I have deep conviction about our theology, our law gospel theology, our grace forward theology, our sound scriptural theology, our consistent confession. Those are things that that all make a difference to me. Our sacramental focus, if you will, God's promises made physical for people. Those are all things that bring me back to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Despite that, I would also say the LCMS is my mother. I'm stinky Lutheran. I'm four generations a church worker. You know, so it's I couldn't shed it. It was just something that that God has called me and preserved me in, and so I'm not willing to scorn my mother and want to adorn her with the grace of God.
What brings you joy being in an administrative position that, you know, it can be challenging to be in administration, have to deal with the things that come along with being in a leadership role. But what brings you joy about having this position, being able to do that type of visitation, to have these relationships with a variety of different people across the district?
Nothing gives me more joy than to see a person, despite whatever language group or cultural group they're in, but to see a leader that I've had opportunity or the privilege of pouring into succeed, even through struggles, and to see them walk out the other side and to know that they are affecting lives, that God is using them as his tool to affect lives. And so my job is often to protect the blind side, but also to open up gateways for congregations and leaders and people. But nothing gives me more joy than seeing a leader that God has gifted me the opportunity to pour into, or a congregation truly just got God taking it and pouring in great increase. Nothing gives me more joy than that.
Going back to the lightning round, we asked you all kinds of fun questions about your favorite things. And when we talked about favorite book, you mentioned Reed Lessing's book on Numbers. And thinking about that, what do you look for in a book? I mean, we talked with Dr. Lessing on his books. Are so grateful for his insights and, you know, his exegetical work on great books like that. What are you looking for in a book when you're looking for something to read, whether it's devotional or otherwise?
I'm looking for, if it's a book I'm reading for entertainment, I'm looking for something that also stimulates my mind or thought or my love for history, even if it's history fiction, you know, but it has its basis. I like to go back and look at the history around that and see how faithful they were to it, where they varied, where they got creative. I love things like that. Another thing that I'm looking for, and just a book I guess I would read, is something that gives me clarity on a problem I'm struggling with in the world today or in leadership. It gives me clarity or a different perspective, different than mine. Mm-hmm. That helps me to understand the other side, because so often we're incapable of understanding, okay, there's a different way to look at this. So if I'm going to see the whole ball, I need to walk around it, and I need to walk around it through somebody else's eyes. Doesn't mean I don't lose my grounding, but I am unable to empathize and to understand how God is working even in that person's heart if I don't see it in their eyes. So books do those kind of things.
Absolutely. Now, when we asked you your favorite color, you said it had changed because your grandchild loves green. This is a two-part question. What was your favorite color? And how integral is that family connection to you as you're doing the work God's given you to do?
It was blue. It probably still is blue. I'm wearing blue. You know, I got a little bit of green in the shirt here. But whenever I'm around Wade, he's one of seven. I have seven grandchildren, five boys and two girls, from age almost seven down to 6 weeks. So I haven't held Noelle, the 6-weeker, yet, but I'm hoping to hold her next week on Tuesday night up in Minneapolis. I'll see her up there. But I'm really trying hard to integrate my family into what I do and recognize that what I do right now is a calling for time. But the family that I have been given to disciple, my children, my bonus children, my grandchildren, I want to have time to pour into them. So whenever I'm in St. Louis, got two grandchildren there, I do everything I can to see them and see their parents. Whenever I'm in Seattle, I try to get to those three and their parents. And when I'm in Austin, I try to get to see them. And then I have a son who is he's not my mini-me, he's my maxi-me, who lives up in Sacramento. And so love spending time with him. So, you know, those are, I decided not to write my D-Men map project largely because I had gotten the educational aspects out of it. And if I did that, I would have to give up time with the family members. And I don't have any extra time right now. That's their time. And that's who would be robbed of it, them and my wife. And I wasn't willing to do that. So that's just kind of how I'm oriented. Do I love education? Do I love learning? Do I love stimulation? Sure. But ultimately, my life, personal, ministry-wise, is going to be about people.
The Reverend Michael Lang, President of the California Nevada Hawaii District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Yeah, my pleasure. Great to be with you.
It was a lot of fun. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.